Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And here's the first terrible joke I have for today. This program's going to the birds. It's better than going to the dogs, right?
Right.
No, but people have, they have fear of birds. They have fear of cooking birds.
I think they do.
Are you going to cure them?
I can fix that for them, yes.
You can fix that?
I really can, yes. Well, the thing is, too, you know, I just bought a farm. I didn't buy the farm.
You just bought the farm.
I bought a farm. I am so excited because one of the guys that's doing some work on my farmhouse came in at like 7 o'clock the other morning, and he said there were 6 turkeys coming down the road to my house. Wild turkeys. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see those in real life. I'd like to taste that. I've never had wild turkey. I've only had farm-raised turkey. So
sounds like a lean situation.
I'm sure they're very lean and probably tough, but I'd still like to taste that.
Well, we think it's funny. I'm hearing a mix of.
I've never had wild deer. I've never had wild deer either, so I've only had farm raised animals.
Well, out on
I've
the farm, I guess you'll begin, what, chasing animals down and killing them with your Bowie knife.
No, that will not be happening. Actually,
Chef Clog's kind of bad in the underbrush for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think not.
No.
No, I think I'll just raise some vegetables and some fruits.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
I think that'll attract
the
birds.
Garden. I think I need to start.
And the birds will walk into your kitchen and volunteer to
right.
be made into a tureen.
Actually, I have a crazy blue jay. That bird woke me up at 6 o'clock the other morning just banging his beak on my one bedroom window. I'm like, what in the world is that? And it was a blue jay.
It's called pecking.
Gosh.
It's called pecking.
But
you should
no
peck
reason.
Him back.
He's crazy. It's a crazy blue jay. They're big birds. Have you ever seen one up close, Tony?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what's your favorite bird out of all
to
the
talk
birds?
To eat?
To eat. To cook and eat and share.
I definitely have a big thing for guinea fowl. They're bizarre to see in person. I mean,
they're pretty.
Sort of like robust, black-feathered, you know, like crazy bright black, almost blue feathers.
Actually, we were walking along
noisy.
A country road one time, and I think a guinea fowl. It might have been a pheasant, but I think it was a guinea fowl
that burst through the hedgerow.
Yeah, he was just like, "What is happening?" And there he comes screaming out mm-hmm. of the hedge. Right. Guinea fowl are really good. They have good flavor.
They have great flavor.
They're sort of in the middle of the road of all the birds.
Great flavor, and they have a little better fat than chicken and turkey. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny. There's the whole scale. I recall being in hotel school. And there was the whole scale of, like, fat content on birds. And it's not all by size exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are definitely birds that have red meat and birds that have white meat.
Right.
So.
Well, and the thing is, also, how are they being fed? You know, you're talking about a farm-raised animal, so what are they being fed? But
Think about birds this time of the year, because you think of game birds and you think about,
mm-hmm.
You know, being a kid and a hunter down the street just hung a goose up on our porch when I was a kid. So I'm like 9 years old. And
did you run screaming back into the house?
No. I just got him down and bled him out.
Did not? When you were 9 years old? Wow.
My great-grandmother
was scary,
pretty
actually.
Tough about that kind of stuff. Yeah. No.
Well, it's not like you grew up on a farm. You were in Roland Park when this happened.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dr. Montague, he'd shot a bunch of birds.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
And he leaves.
Yeah, that's
a
the man
goose.
with like lion heads in his on his wall
he
in
did
his
have
house.
Various mm-hmm. big game trophies on mm-hmm. the walls of his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he left a duck and a goose, and the goose was still kind of actively bleeding. So he put something underneath it, and he took one of those potted plant like things you screw in the ceiling that you hang potted plants from.
Yes,
he hung. He put a string on the leg of one of the, on the goose, and just hung him up there. So you walk out the door, and his wings are spread all the way out. Ridiculously.
I think I'd be pretty scared if I was a little kid and I walked outside and saw that. But you know, all right.
What?
Did you eat him?
Yeah, we ate him.
Good. I bet it was delicious.
It was. Well, goose is a tough one.
Oh, goose is hard to
cook.
It's
tough to cook.
It is very hard to cook. And that's a really
fatty.
Those
are fatty but muscular
end of the spectrum of fat, I think. Goose is super fatty.
Should we start at the beginning with the little guys?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, we took ortolans off the list because ortolans...
That's uncool.
That's,
yeah, they're illegal.
They're super cool. But they're illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their little sunglasses on.
So next you have quail.
Quail.
Which, so, you know, we have a very large farm producing many quail in our country. It's called Manchester Farms. It's actually in Indiana. And
but there are other sources, too.
There are. And that's the thing that's so exciting is I've had very good luck with Virginia farmers and their quail. And I also actually buy some of the quail that we're getting right now. We get from France. And it is truly the most delicious quail I've ever tasted.
It has a lot more flavor
in
than the farm
my life. Yeah, and not strong flavor, just good flavor. And the birds are a little bit lighter in color than perhaps some of the ones that I've seen from the United States. But Javier, who's an amazing, he's a farmer as well as he sells his product. He's sort of a specialty guy that we buy from. He's the one that raises quail and squab in Virginia, and it's a small farm, and they're just, I don't know what they're feeding them, but it is incredible. So they're doing really well with that. But that's the whole thing. It's your source, and you know, fresh. You want the product to be fresh. That is not something you want to buy that's been frozen. And you know, I think with quail in particular, it is a small bird, so it cooks really fast. And if you leave it on the rib cage, if you leave it on the bone, it's going to have the most flavor it can possibly have.
So some basic questions about cooking quail. How many quail do you need per person?
I really think one. It always depends on how many courses you're having. But if you're having a starter course and quail for, you could probably could eat two, but it depends on your appetite.
So if you're serving quail for a main course,
say you're serving
a soup and you have many side dishes, you know, quail for main course.
Mm-hmm.
And you have eight people, maybe you cook a dozen?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So you have a little bit of...
Well, I do half of a quail for a tasting portion. So I feel if you're having five courses, you know, you can eat half a quail pretty easily. There's really not that much. You're probably going to get about three or four bites from the breast and then a couple of bites from the leg. And it can just all be so good. And I really think very simple seasoning with quail, salt, pepper, you know, maybe a little bit of good oil to marinate, and fresh rosemary or fresh thyme, or you could certainly put oregano.
And you would expect to get the quail in what condition? I mean, for a home cook, exactly what would the quail would be?
Well, the head will be. I'd be very surprised if you could find.
Because we get them head on and feed on and the whole ball game.
Right. So we do get them that way whole, but you can easily buy them head off and feet off. If you do have the opportunity to get them that way, they make great stock. So you can make a really beautiful stock from the trimming. And if you are deboning them, then you'll have the rib cage to make stock from as well. And I would certainly brown that and add mirepoix, carrot, celery, and onion, a little bit of aromatics, bay leaf, thyme, and peppercorn, dried thyme, and water. I'd put a little bit of wine in. I'd put a tiny bit of tomato paste in. And I definitely would put a touch of red wine in if I was making quail stock.
So we're going to roast a quail, say you're roasting quail and those dozen quail in a big heavy bottom pan.
Mm-hmm. You definitely want to brown them first.
But you would do those whole rib cage?
I would. Serve them whole. I would not debone them if I was serving them at home.
So
there's no reason to.
Season them well and fold them on themselves?
Yeah. You just flip back the wings so they're tucked in, and you could tie the legs. Probably isn't a bad idea. You could actually truss them if you wanted to, but it's not necessary. You don't have to. I think, again, I was just talking about stock, but really the same aromatics would be nice to put in the roasting pan. Carrot, celery, and onion, maybe some leeks, a little bit of shallots in the skins, you know, whole shallots or pearl onions, something like that. Cipollini onions, which are absolutely one of my favorite things, but I love shallots and cipollinis, actually. But you could roast root vegetables, more root vegetables, parsnip or celeriac in
shallots
with the birds.
Shallots and Brussels sprouts I like with quail a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a big Brussels sprout and turnip person. And yep. I finally become fond of Brussels sprouts, but turnips I still have a bit of a problem with. I just feel like their flavor profile is so strong that for me, it you really have to like turnips to include them, because they will
baby turnips
muddy the waters.
Not that strong.
Yeah, they will muddy the water sometimes a bit.
Purple tops are real sharp. Mm-hmm. If you can get the white top turnips and not too big, those are pretty darn nice and pretty sweet.
I have to say also, as a kid, one of my favorite snacks, my mom and I would come home from school and we would have raw turnip with salt on it. I do like turnips. I think I actually prefer them raw to cooked, but anyway, back to the bird. So I think quail, you know, there are many things you could do. You could also stuff them. There's a small cavity. It's not, you know, or you could serve it with stuffing, which is probably more reasonable. Also, you could always wrap them in bacon or pancetta or serrano or iberico ham, you know, to just give them even more flavor. I would probably do that near the end of the cooking process if it was any of those other hams other than bacon.
Pretty famous to get them from the Loire in particular. And in the Loire, that's often chestnut stuffing that they're served with, which is kind of fun. And they'll serve it with white wines, actually, from Vouvray that are a little bit off dry or even some of the bigger and sweeter things if the quail are strong.
Well, I will say, I'm sure everybody out there that has chestnut trees or walnut trees, I hope they had the same experience I did. I have quite a few of both trees. And, I mean, the first, even before I lived there, I picked up a bag of chestnuts. And what a treat that was to get to work with them. So our season was very good this year. So maybe you still have some chestnuts that you can use, you know, either for upcoming Thanksgiving or try one of, you know, roasting a bird and try a chestnut stuffing. I mean, I don't think you need much in a chestnut stuffing. You could either do, you know, a type of baguette or whatever kind of bread you like, cornbread or some sort of white bread, or whatever you like. But I would just do onion and celery sauteed in butter with salt and pepper and add the chestnuts. The big thing with chestnuts, if you have saved them, is that they get hard as they age, and you're going to have to soften
you
those up.
So, soft.
Yeah, you're going to have to cook them in stock, most likely, to make stuffing with them if you are serving something that you got from our area.
So let's just say, again, for the home cook, a dozen quail, a big heavy roasting pan.
Mm-hmm.
Some space between the quail, between each of them.
As I said, I would sear them. I would put that pan on the stove and get it hot, just below smoking.
So just kind of roll them around, sear them on each side.
I absolutely would. They're such small birds. I would absolutely sear them on all sides.
And then finish them in the oven.
Yeah, yeah, and season them, reseason them. Oh my gosh,
once
they take
seared,
no
how long
time.
In the oven?
I mean, maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
And cook to about.
I would cook them to medium. I would. You know, I will eat. Quail, really good quail, I'll eat medium rare. But I think for most people, you would probably prefer it medium, but do not cook it more than that.
Quail are red meat birds.
Yeah,
so
they will taste livery.
Red meat birds will taste stronger, and their texture gets really tight.
Well, and they're lean.
The fat has everything to do with
dry.
The skin on birds. It's never through the meat, so.
Right.
Even the fattiest ones, it's really much more the fat around the muscles not going through, not like a piece of beef or
and you could always
piece of lamb.
You could always grill them. I mean, there's no reason not to. And again, I'd roll them around on the grill a bit and really get some good sear on them before I let them just kind of sit with the lid down for a few minutes to let them finish cooking.
Difference from quail to pigeon? Besides being a little bit larger, but cooking them technically not gigantically different.
No, and that's a very bloody bird.
Pigeon, also called squab in the States.
Right.
Squab is a young pigeon.
Squab. So squab is as dark meat as you're going to get. And it is, gosh, one of the most beautiful things I think you can eat. I love squab or pigeon.
This has a lot of flavor, a stronger flavor.
It really does. But it's not strong in a bad way, again, unless you overcook it. I mean, that's the whole ball game. If you just don't like medium rare or medium meat, you really probably aren't going to be
don't
happy
cook these
with
birds.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bother because I think you're probably going to dislike it because it's just too strongly flavored the more you cook it.
I think for me it's an easy thing putting wine with those birds. With a quail, it's you want something that feels important, that's built classically but is not too tannic. And so say you love great Italian wine, Barbaresco can be terrific with that. Mm-hmm. Especially not from a giant year, maybe 2008, that's drinking nicely right now. But the pigeon, a little more power, a little more intensity.
Right.
You do still have to mind your tannins, but maybe what you want is Barolo instead of Barbaresco, but more mature, 2004, 2001, something along those lines, maybe even a Cru. If you want to stick with French wine, think Chino, the Cab Franc from the Loire. Be great with a quail. And then go to, you know, similar grape or same grapes, but bigger, richer, like Cenomillo for the pigeon in Bordeaux. In the States, pigeon, easy to go to Washington State and look for a Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot-based wine. Especially some of the Merlot-based wines up there are terrific with pigeon.
That would be great.
I would think so.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I would think so.
That's cool.
The and I would stay in the Northwest maybe for the quail. Look at Oregon Pinots that are a little bit more structured than Pinot from California. A little bit that earthier character will do well with the quail.
You know, as long as you have enough oven space, and you know, some of us are limited on oven space, but with something like a lean bird like that, you can do an accompaniment that has a lot of fat. So let's say potato gratin is just, oh gosh, so delicious. You know, as long as you have that oven space to handle it, I would definitely put a good English piece of cheddar or something in there and give it a little
funkiness. That's funny. I always want a cheese course after birds like those.
Yeah, either way.
You know, that's for sure.
You can get
sure.
your cheese one way or the other with some potatoes and cream or just as cheese afterwards. That sounds well, like a plan.
We're going to take a quick cheese break on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine. When we come back, we're going to go to larger and yet larger birds on WYPR.